second part of my conversation with Sherry Ameh, we talk about the soul's journey, the role of trauma in epigenetics in finding true healing, and the path to building our very best, highest purpose life. We pick up the conversation where we left off. How would you describe that truth?
So the truth is that, and I'll tell you a part of the experience, like when I first crossed over, I remember the first thing I said was, wow, that was so easy. And that was very significant because the fear of death was something it was so prominent in my life since I was a little kid. And I think part of that was because I knew there was more to this life. And so because I knew there was more, but I didn't know what was more. So there's it, like, is what's more good or is it bad type of thing, right? I just knew that there was more. And so I was always terrified of like paranormal, anything out of the ordinary that didn't make sense. So I would say as a child, mentality and being shown very little of what's true. And all we know of what's true of this other realm is like ghost stories and horror films, right? So that kind of builds up this anxiety over, my gosh, what happens after we die, you know? And to carry that kind of burden is very heavy on the soul. It's very heavy, number one, because it's not based on any sort of truth. So when I first crossed over and was like, wow, that was easy, from that point on, my beliefs had just become shattered one after the other throughout this realm in the afterlife. And so understanding that there wasn't this massive physical struggle to actually transition from this lifetime into the after realm was everything for me. Everything. Because whether someone is, you know, transitions on because of a tragic car accident or a long-term devastating illness, or, you know, God forbid, murder or anything really, really tragic, it instantly cleared that up for me. That because we see something in the physical happen to somebody, what we do is we take our own frame of reference of what that would feel like on a physical 3D level to be in a car accident. And we think that the transition of, or the separation of the soul from the body is something that hurts physically. And as soon as I crossed over, that was proven to be false. Right? So that is a very small example to share the difference, okay, between the truth of who we actually are as a soul and a physical body versus the mindset that we are walking around carrying as a heavy weighted backpack on our shoulders every day, assuming that the world is one way, when in fact, there is so much more that we are not being told that will allow you to soften into your actual experience of truly living your highest light in the present physical realm.
You know, in a way, it's an interesting opportunity when you come out the other side of this to reconstruct a life that's more authentic for you. Mm-hmm. But that can't be easy to do.
It's definitely not easy. And, you know, why is it not easy? Well, because, you know, you've got an entire humanity collective that has been conditioned for decades upon decades upon decades, thousands of years. And if you really die, I'm a history major, and I just have a natural love for history and ancient history. When you dive into ancient cultures, you know, you see there's always been this sense of hierarchy, whether it's kings and queens, and then you have like the regular people, the peasants, whatever they call them, right? There's always been this hierarchical structure. And I think a lot of people now, it's like really kind of cool these days to walk around and say, oh, you know, let's all be these queens of, you know, like moving forward. But without really understanding how societal conditioning and this mind architecture, this social conditioning is actually engineered. And so even through fairy tale systems, movies, we've, you know, media, things made to look, oh, that looks so beautiful, and things to made to look so seductive to us are really taking out the elements of the truth of how some of those elements have actually even come about in society and why humanity is so distant from its own understanding of itself. Like the authentic self that you're talking about, why are we so removed from that? Well, because we're being lulled for thousands of years into this frame of reference that is honestly just a beautiful sugar-coated form of social engineering to always keep you from understanding the purity, the power, and the creativity of your own actual innate essence within you.
You know, I've observed this over time too, and this is not a male bashing session by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that in a man's world, men tend to be very hierarchical. Mm-hmm. They're always ranking things. Who's up one? Who's up two? Who's down? Yeah. And I think that that type of thinking dominates a lot of things in our society. For example, mm-hmm. if women had designed a search engine like Google, it would work totally differently.
Mm, yes.
I mean, Google is strictly hierarchical. They want you to dumb down all the writing and everything else to go higher in the rankings. I mean, it is not a free-form, authentic, living way of looking at information.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that actually reminds me of something similar that my husband just said to me. And I love that you bring that up, because really what you're saying is if you take the time to actually observe humanity, to really observe our behavior patterns, both individually, like within yourself, but also as a collective, you really do notice that something's off. And it's off, but it's off in a big way, a really big way. And I've been a leader for most of my life. And I'm also a 5'1 in human design, which I'll be honest, doesn't mean that much to me other than what people have told me. But they said it's kind of like you're a fixer, you're a problem solver, you're a leader, but you also are a fixer. So most of my life, I've been like, trying to like solve these types of problems that to me are so obvious. Like what you just said, you're like, it's like, duh.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And well, so, and, yeah.
Yeah, but, no, go ahead.
Okay, well, I was going to say, after a while, you get older, and you're like, there's got to be a reason this is still not solved.
I'll look at the female side of the equation, too. I think women tend to be pleasers. We want to please people.
Yeah.
And that is, I will only speak for myself, that is a fundamental maladaptive behavior.
Yeah.
That I at least need to address.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And it starts with us. I mean, it absolutely does. So I 100% agree with that. It starts on the level of individual awareness and making the changes within our own lives and our own values, right? Like, what's your core value? You know, is your core value to just keep creating this world where we're all just running ourselves into the ground? Or is it in your highest value to become the one that's going to step forward and say, enough is enough. I'm going to use my own creativity, my own ingenuity, my own innovative skills to really help guide myself, the people around me, and humanity in a new direction. And that's part of the power of the individual sovereign, human, right? It's that's within all of us. But part of doing that is having your own sense of identity structure in the world somewhat rattled, right? So, I mean, I'm sure if you look in your life, you know, something's probably happened, right? That's really allowed you to begin to step outside the conditioning of what is considered normal, acceptable behavior patterns.
Yeah, absolutely. A number of things, none of which were pleasant. But now, as I look back on those sorts of events, I'm incredibly grateful because while they were very difficult, while my world was shattered, while all my relationships were shattered at one point, it allowed me to step back, go within, and take a different look at things.
Mm, yeah.
But it does not happen overnight.
No. It's definitely the power of that perception shift. But then, like you said, there is the journey. There's the journey through that awakening. And it's not an easy journey, you know, and I'm grateful that you honestly acknowledge that. Not everybody does, you know. I will say this. I think, and this is part of my own, some of my own abilities that I've had since a child, but also that have really been awakened and heightened since my near-death experiences. I have this crazy ability, obviously, to like see not even just a few months ahead, but I can see years ahead. And, you know, it was very natural for me. I didn't understand it until after my near-death experience, but it's a very natural thing for me to understand this ability to see things sometimes 10, 20 years down the line, because you bring that up in conversation, people think you're nuts, right? Same as what's going on now. If you talk about current events and you say, well, this is kind of what's happening, that you got somebody else saying, that's not happening.
Yeah, two very different realities.
Right. So different realities going on. And I think one of the gifts that my near-death experience gave me was this ability to understand the different realms. So it's very easy for me to connect various time and space together and create a storyline. Like it's the most fascinating thing that I did not take as something sacred till very recently. Because I know everybody has the ability to do it. I just have to remember that not everybody has tapped into it.
Talk about that a little bit, because that's really interesting. I mean, how does that come together for you?
It's really funny. It comes together as simple as having a conversation with you. It's just my natural thinking pattern. It's not something I have to sit down and be like, you know, sitting in prayer. It's a natural stream of consciousness that is running in my head. And so a lot of times I will gear what I'm saying based on who I'm talking to, because if I don't feel the person is able to handle, you know, like somebody to, you know, like telling them, okay, well, this particular thing is going to go on for 5 years, or this thing is going to happen for a month. You know, if I feel they can't handle that, I would obviously not share that. But that is how fluid the information comes with me. It's just like being this direct channel of different time and space aspects, but in a way that doesn't blow out your system, right? And so that takes a lot of initiations that are not uncomfortable, like you talked about. It takes a lot of understanding, you know, what the spirit is, what's the body, a lot of people cannot even afford to take the time to really address a lot of what we're talking about. And I think we have to remember that. We have to remember that everybody in humanity is not experiencing the same reality. So to expect everybody to see what you see is actually, you're wasting your energy on trying to make that happen, right? And that's only because we each have our own initiations into the soul awakening experience. And that experience is when you start to awaken more and more to the world, the realms, the unseen realms beyond the physical world. It's a very delicate process. It's a sacred process. And I think we've all probably made mistakes. I certainly have, in trying to awaken people that are not ready, you know? And so I look back at it now, I'm like, oh my God, I feel so bad, you know? But like, because it's a real shocking, and we're always going through these experiences. It doesn't really stop, right? This is part of the human journey, is you're always uncovering new things that start to shatter the conditionings of your former self. Some people refer to that as death of the ego. They're little pieces of what used to be true that begin to unravel. And every time they unravel, they shake your understanding and your foundation of the world. So it can be very scary, right? That's what makes it so challenging, is it shakes the very foundation of what you once knew was true. And so for some people that you think, well, why would you want to keep experiencing that? And the reason is because it's kind of like chipping away at a treasure, you know, and it takes years and years to just chip away the rough edges, you know, to eventually get to the treasure. And that's very, it's a great metaphor for why you even begin to walk this path of awakening yourself out of the conditioning of the matrix, of the social engineering, of the conditioned reality that you were told since birth. You do that because at the core of that, unraveling from this, it's a form of trauma when you are conditioned to be anything other than who you are authentically. That is a trauma to your soul. That is a trauma to your body. You are meant as a human to be your authentic self. And so the more we suppress that ourselves, through conditioning, through trying to fit in with our peers, through not wanting to rock the boat, the more we cover up and we harm, we dishonor the authentic core of our soul. And so as we journey through life and through into the next life, right, the transition through life into death, into rebirth, we are always coming back to continue picking up where we left off, clearing that trauma elements, the fragmented parts of our soul, in order to come back into alignment with our wholeness, chipping away, getting to the core, the treasure of our authentic wholeness, our true purity, and the innocence and the creative power that sits at the seat of our soul.
Is there an end point to this evolution of constantly trying to make your soul whole, or does it go on forever?
You know, I believe, I cannot say this specifically from my near-death experience, only what I'm able to interpret based on what I experienced. And, you know, I met this circle of beings in the other side with, I would say, more of a galactic part of our heritage. And when I think about that question, I think of it more as transcending out of the state of this constant perpetual suffering and into more of what I experienced when I crossed over and met these beings. So there's something in me that says we are ascending the struggle, the disconnect of our soul from our bodies. We are ascending the shattering of our wholeness so that we can come back into wholeness and fully connect what I refer to as like this light body system that begins to activate the more you heal and clear and integrate these traumatic episodes from just being here alive in this physical body. This is very deep, but it's very important to understand and to see that there is a much deeper purpose for why we are here than what you see about materialistic possessions and all of that stuff. There is a reason you are here. And when we talk about ascending, it's really coming back into wholeness, integrating your wholeness back into the body that has integrated all of the parts that were shattered through trauma to the mind, body, spirit. So when you come back into wholeness, what happens is the body and the soul activate something on the cellular level, the level of, if you almost think of the body as a housing for a computer. Right now, our energy is spread out. We're all surfing on social media. We're all trying to live our jobs, serving other people. We're all trying to like figure out what's going on. We're at the doctor's office. Our energy is like out of our bodies. But imagine starting to retrain your whole nervous system, your whole framework of life to come back, to slow down the pace of life, come back in to the body, to start facing those elements of childhood, of adulthood, those elements that we have buried because they were too painful. They were too painful to look at. When we start learning how to heal those pains, integrate them into the body where the whole endocrine system gets to relax, unravel, and it sends this system through your body, through your nervous system, through the endocrine system, through your spinal fluid, through the heart, you know, all the blood. Everything starts to reconnect, realign, as if you had just turned on a brand new computer. And when you are in that aligned state, you transcend duality, you transcend the suffering of the world. And I believe that when we can do that, we then no longer need to come into this physical 3D reality in order to learn those lessons. So the beings that I saw when I crossed over are almost like a future slash past version of the human.
How much of the healing goes back through generations? How much of it is ancestral healing?
So all of the there's actually been studies that trauma is definitely traveled through the genetics. It's a field of epigenetics, right? So they know that if there's trauma down the road within great-grandparents, you know, great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, that trauma to the system is actually carried out in the cellular memories, in the endocrine system, in the DNA, and it gets passed down from generation to generation to generation. So some of the things that we think we're healed because, okay, let's just take an example. I have a fear of public speaking, right? And so did my mom. She had a fear of public speaking too. But now I speak on stages all over the world. I'm healed. And so we trick ourselves a lot into thinking that because we overcame something that was big in our current world, we think we're done. So you get a lot of people that like, and I definitely did this. I get a lot of clients that come to me and they're like, Sherry, I've been working on my healing for years. Like, I thought I was done, you know? And there was a time period where we didn't have access to all this information that's coming from the cosmos, reminding us who we are. You know, we didn't have as many people coming out, sharing their near-death stories to really tell the truth of our existence. So humanity is going through its own awakening process, as well as you on an individual level. So when it comes to healing, we have to start training our mind to understand that trauma gets passed down through our lineage. And that is being proven now, okay? So what does that mean? That means that there are parts of your behavior, your patterns of behavior that you've been struggling with for your whole life, financial problems, relationship problems, what eating problems, whatever it is. And we try to address it on this physical level, like, okay, I'm just going to stop eating like these chips. And you're still not losing weight. When in reality, there is something going on in your physical central nervous system, endocrine system. It's so deep that we have to be willing. And this is key here. This is why people do not heal. You must be willing to go through the path of soul awakening in order to heal. So that means you must be willing to face some of your deepest, most unpleasant shadows, not in a way where it's going to send you down a dark path, but in a way that it's going to actually free you once and for all to face the dragon and slay it. Okay? What we don't do is we really don't face the issue head on. And I recommend to everybody, get support in this area. people that are trained in somatic therapy, inherited family trauma, ancestral trauma. That is a huge way of when you find yourself doing therapy for years, talk therapy for years, you're still running the same patterns. When you find yourself, you're meditating for years, still not going away. It's because that's part of the journey. That's part of the journey of healing. But a big part is the awareness, learning more levels of where the body and the soul need to come back into alignment.
What is heaven on earth to you?
That's such a good question. So heaven on earth is, to me, it's coming back into the body. It's coming back home, coming back into full presence of your actual true essence, your purity, learning how to uncover this magical world that is hidden deep within your soul and living from the inside out instead of the outside in.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.